Our first scripture reading comes to us today from John chapter 14, 1 to 14, entitled, I Am the Way, the Truth and the Life. Jesus said, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you with to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Here ends our scripture reading.
So we're looking at John chapter 14, and this is our series on John's Gospel, which we've been going through as best as we can leading up to Easter, looking at the second half of John. We did the first half of John a year ago. And of course, when you look at John's Gospel, it's such a detailed account. There's so much to talk about there that we can only skim the surface. But today I'm just focusing on really a line, the beginning line in John's Gospel. It's also repeated later on. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is just urging us to trust, to believe in him. So I haven't had an opportunity really to talk about my holidays, and usually things happen and there has to be a sermon illustration in there somewhere, you would think to yourself. So on the last day of our holidays, we were leaving back to Sydney, and we were leaving a place near Corryong in Victoria. So that's sort of like 100 kilometres up the Murray, past the Hume Weir, it's right up, moving towards the Snowy Mountains. Anyway, we crossed over the Murray River and we travelled into New South Wales. And then the car suddenly wasn't working properly. The transmission wasn't changing gears. And so I nursed it up a hill looking for a bit of shade, actually, looking for something. And we just managed to get up the hill. I pulled towards the side of the road and there we stopped. I looked down the road behind me and there's a whole lot of transmission fluid all over the road. Plus, I spent quite a bit of time since I've got back, Marion and I together, cleaning the trailer, trying to get the transmission fluid off the trailer. And as I opened the door, I noticed this smoke just pouring out from the bottom of the car. We stopped, and of course you look at your phone. Who do you ring? The NRMA, that's who you ring. And thankfully, the NRMA was there. I got the RACV, really, because we're a bit closer to that side, the border. And even though we're cut off a few times by the NRMA and had to wait 15 to 20 minutes for anyone to answer their phone, we eventually got someone that answered the phone and said, "So where are you?" And then there's this electronic stuff where you sort of send your location. It didn't work perfectly. The tow truck went about 15 kilometres away from where we were, but we did coax it towards us. And the NRMA guy appeared. And so we'd already been there for an hour and a half. We were quite happy to see the NRMA guy, but he didn't have a tow truck. He was just in the van. And he said, "Well, we've got to get you to a safe place." And so he put a strap to the front of my car and pulled us down the road, looking to get us into a safe place on the side of the road. I did put a photo of us sitting there. I don't know if that can be put up on the screen. But there we are in our safe place. If you look carefully, you might see Marianne there doing some craft there. So we stayed there. But the NRMA guy said, "I've got lots of other jobs to do." We didn't have telephone reception at this new safe place. And he said, "You can trust me. I will look after you, but I'm going now." And when he said, "Trust me, look after me," he said, "I'll organise a tow truck for you." Well, there was nobody nearby, as it turned out. When he was with us, they were actually none in the small towns. One was in Newcastle, one was somewhere else. And they started ringing out further afield, Albury, Wagga, long way away. But he says, "I'll look after you, something will happen." 7.5 hours later, a tow truck did indeed appear. We were both sunburnt by then, and it was a hot day. The view was lovely, but it's really hard, isn't it, to trust someone when they say, "I'll look after you." I felt a lot better with him near me, talking on the telephone to someone who wasn't being very cooperative, than when he said, "Trust me, I'll look after you," and disappeared to his next job. It's a funny thing, isn't it, that trusting. I prefer him here, but he went. As it turns out, he was trustworthy, but when you don't know when a tow truck will appear, that does test it a fraction. It does test that out. Now, you can imagine the situation with the disciples. Jesus has told them that he is leaving them. And then he says, to the rising anxiety in their hearts, "Trust in God, trust also in me. And before that, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." And brothers and sisters, what a difficult thing that was for them to do. And in fact, I would say that they failed pretty spectacularly. Now, we've lived in a time of, if you can say, community anxiety, church anxiety, corporate anxiety that's encompassed the world over the last number of years. I don't personally know of any other time in my history where there's been so much anxiety and fear and distress and concern as the last number of years, and indeed for many people still today. Along with COVID came the fear of death, the fear of sickness, fear for your loved ones, fear for your children, fear about the economy, fear about losing your job, all kinds of fear, and the whole community, everyone was experiencing that fear, And certainly we as a community of Christians experienced it as well. So my question is, did we, me and you, listen well to what Jesus said in verse 1 of John 14? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. To my shame, I have felt anxious at times. Then, on top of that, we hear these words, and I wonder how the flood-affected victims and Christians in northern New South Wales feel about the floods, especially if the creek's overflown, the river's overflown, gone over the banks, and it's getting closer to your home. Then on top of all that, people are concerned about the Ukraine. Leonard mentioned World War III in his prayer, but I'm sort of hoping that's not the way it will go. But we live in an age now of the rise of the international dictator, don't we? We have the president of China, who's very belligerent, threatening Taiwan and other countries. You have the Russian president doing his thing, all, it seems, with unrestrained power and the ability to feed their own egos. And so we live in a world that's filled with these things as well. And they're all community tensions. They're all things that we all have gone through, or we're all going through. I'm one of those people that has, I don't look at the TV anymore in terms of news, but I do look at the papers online. So I haven't sort of fed my mind too much on the situations in other parts of the world. I just know it's horrendous. When I read Barnabas Fund and the situation in Kiev and other major cities there in the Ukraine, I just think of what a terrible time it is. Missionaries staying there in these difficult times, or some of them are. People travelling to the Hungarian border and the Polish border. And so these things are all happening, right? We're all experiencing this kind of anxieties, these kind of anxieties together. Do not let your hearts be troubled, said Jesus. And then on top of that, there's the individual concerns, isn't there? So that's just corporate, things that we hold together. And then there's your job, your health, your children, your relationships, your marriage, looking after a loved one, meeting death. There's so many other things that are just born individually or as a family together. Things that you feel and someone else is not experiencing the same kind of thing at this time. And there's a myriad of those. We can go on. On top of all that, there's what Keats said, the famous author. Imaginary grievances have always been my torment more than real ones. Quite like that, imaginary. So you've got all these corporate ones, all these individual ones, and then all the ones we play in our own minds. Well, brothers and sisters, it's a big ask that Jesus is asking from his disciples, trust in God. Do not be anxious about anything. Trust God, trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The word troubled is an interesting word. I think you need to, we saw on that video for the children, the waters churning away. That's a good description of trouble. When your hearts are troubled, it's like the waves are churning and there's breakers everywhere. That's what it is. It's being shaken up. It's being, it's losing your cool. It's getting your heart rate up. It's trembling. It's anxiety. And Jesus himself experienced that. Just go back a couple of chapters, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. Same word there. And what was Jesus thinking about? His imminent death, a terrible death on the cross. Crucifixion, the worst kind of death ever invented up to that point of time. Well, brothers and sisters, I just want you to step into the disciples' shoes for a moment at this point. Their lives have been filled with anxiety. When Jesus got the phone call from Bethany to come and go to Lazarus, to go there because the brother of Mary and Martha was ill, facing death, he decided to turn his face to Bethany, which is just 2 km thereabouts from Jerusalem, to go back to Jerusalem. And Thomas, one of his disciples, said, "Let us go to Jerusalem that we might die with him." And so there's a whole lot of anxiety, right? But the disciples are all trudging back up the hill, a long walk, 4 days, to Bethany. But then something amazing happens. So they're going back with fear, knowing that they had already wanted to stone Jesus, the authorities in Jerusalem. Lazarus is raised by Jesus from the dead. And then a few days later, perhaps a week later, he heads into Jerusalem and the crowds are waving their palm branches because everyone's heard about it. And they're singing these words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And their hearts would have soared. Suddenly their fears are dissipating. They came with fear, they came with trembling. And now they're exuberant, they're excited. Jesus is going to step up on the throne and he'll rule and reign and they'll be with him. And they're super excited by all that. But in the middle of all this euphoric feelings, or the euphoria that the disciples are feeling, Jesus continues to say that he's going to be crucified, that he would die, but that he would be raised again on the third day. But all this went over their heads. And then what Stephen looked at last week, chapter 13. What an interesting time that was. They're all in the upper room. It's the Passover. And Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And then he says, "One of you will betray me." And they're all wondering, "Is it me?" And then he says to Peter, Peter, who said, "I would never deny you," he said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. There's a real down atmosphere about the place in John 13. They've been anxious and fearful, they've got euphoric, and now it's plunging down. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to another place, but where I'm going to, you can't follow me." And they're suddenly thinking, "We'll be alone." We'll be alone. It's a difficult time for them. Trust is difficult. If someone makes you a promise and says, "Trust me," most people aren't going to trust that quickly. If a tradesman says, "I promise I'll come next week," and doesn't, then he says, "I promise I'll come the week after," and doesn't, then, well, that's a familiar feeling for most of us, I think. When he says it the third time, you're wondering if you need to get a new quote. Trust me. We've been disappointed enough to know you can't always trust people when they say they will do something. When we ended up in Wodonga after our car problems, someone wanted to sell us another car, in fact, the wreckers, where my car disappeared to Melbourne to be wrecked. And the same wrecker says, "I can bring you up a great car." I can give you, sell you a Mitsubishi Pajero for $8,000. How old is it? 2009. Look, I said, just tell me the actual age and how many kilometres the car's done. It's clean, yeah, but just tell me the age and actual kilometres the car's done. It's a 2001 Pajero, and it's done 385,000 kilometres. Trust me. We didn't buy the car at the time. If you ever sit with me watching a movie, and I just say this is an American movie because that's what they always do, or often do, you might hear me groan at times or moan. And it follows this. So I'm watching a movie and someone says, I promise you, or I will come back for you, or something like that. And I just hate it. You just observe this when you watch your next American movie, how often that particular phrase comes up. I promise, I'll come back. And I think to myself, who can do that? Because they're not God. Who's in control of all the circumstances in life that you can make a promise like that in a difficult situation? Trust is something to be earned. So when Jesus says, trust in God, trust also in me, does he deserve our trust? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Does he deserve our trust? What kind of meaning would that have for the disciples? I've already said it gave them no comfort at all. You'd think for an Israelite, a Jewish person, that trust would be in their DNA, but it never was when you look through their history. They had the scriptures, they were celebrating the Passover when they were redeemed, saved out of Egypt, but I don't think trust was in their DNA. And when Jesus says, trust also in me, it's far easier to trust you, Jesus, when you're there than when you say you're going to a place we do not know and you cannot follow me there. And they struggled with that because they didn't see the end game. They didn't know Jesus would be, well, they did hear it, but they didn't believe it, that Jesus would be raised to life, sit at the right hand of God, and that he would rule for the sake of them and the church throughout the ages till he would return and make all things new. They didn't really believe any of that. They couldn't comprehend any of that. And so when he says to the disciples, do not be anxious, trust in God, trust also in me, it wasn't doing anything for them. But we know better, don't we? We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus did rise from the dead, that he ascended into heaven and that he rules and he's the king of this world. We know that and we believe it. Or don't we believe it? The disciples couldn't believe it, and so they were anxious and their lives, they fell apart when Jesus left them and was crucified. All their hopes and dreams evaporated. But do we believe it in our circumstances, in the things that we go through today? Well, brothers and sisters, trust in God. That's why we read the scriptures, isn't it? We see the plan of God from Genesis 3 all the way through to the present day. And we know that Jesus came at the right time and circumstances to be our Saviour and Lord and the ruler of this world. We know all that, and we look at the scriptures to give us hope and confidence and trust in difficult times. Where had Jesus gone? Well, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In verse 2, we read this, my Father's house has many rooms. If that was not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I believe the writer John records these words not so much for the disciples, because it didn't do them any good at the time, but he records these words for us. These things are all recorded for us so that we might put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In reality, I don't have much more I want to convey to you today. I want to read out a number of passages from Scripture about anxiety and trust, and then I will conclude. So I'm reading to you from Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Many people turn to Romans 8 in difficult times, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? To the Philippians, Paul wrote, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Peter wrote, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The disciples' greatest fear was that Jesus was no longer going to be with them. I think our greatest fear is when we forget that Jesus is with us, when we block that out of our minds. Some people say a burden shared is a burden halved. And there's something in that, isn't there? Sharing a burden, it's sort of, That's a good thing to do. But when we pray, it's not just sharing our burdens and fears and anxieties with Jesus, but we're coming to the one who can deal with our burdens, anxieties and fears. That's what's so different about Jesus. He's not just a good listener. He has power to change all the circumstances of life. Job said this, yet man is born for trouble as sparks fly upwards. I've sat around many fires in my days and sparks always go up. That's just the truth. They never, well, the only time they come down is when they sort of burn out and then they drop. The sparks fly upwards, and you and I were born for trouble. None of us will ever live an anxiety-free life, because such a life simply does not exist. We always kind of pray for an anxiety-free life, but it doesn't exist. It will only exist when we go to be with God forever. Then there will be no trouble. And no fear, no mourning, crying pain. Yet Jesus continues to say to us, and he continues to say to me, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We need to hear these words time and time again. Amen.